He's an Air Force Academy graduate. He holds two master's degrees. Decorated and retired U.S. Air Force. Someone who understands aviation's rightful place in Alaska's history and our future.
Governor Parnell announces new cabinet members. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Thursday, the 18th of November. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, Lisa Murkowski claims victory in her Senate race.
What a wild, wild thing that we were doing. What a chance. What a risk.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by NMS, building a culture of safety through active caring. More information online at nmsusa.com. And by
Crowley, providing tanker escorts, fuel delivery, and energy support services to Alaskans for over 50 years. From Valdez to the North Slope, Crowley knows Alaska. Crowley.com.
Governor Sean Parnell spoke to the Resource Development Council in Anchorage this morning, marking his first large public appearance since winning the election. Parnell seemed excited and energized to talk about resource development in Alaska, as well as introducing some of his new cabinet appointees. Parnell said his administration, along with the legislature, has changed the investment climate to create incentives for the exploration business. He said an announcement yesterday showed how tax changes in the state resource system can help grow the economy.
Buccaneer Alaska Drilling and its subsidiary Kenai Offshore Ventures announced their intentions to acquire and put to work a jackup rig in Cook Inlet. One key element is an expected increase in employment on the Kenai Peninsula. I think that's good news for South Central. And additionally, today an announcement was made by Link Energy that they completed drilling an exploration well in the Cook Inlet Basin and encountered a number of gas-bearing horizons. That means there's more work there for Alaskans as well. All good news.
Parnell said studies in the outer continental shelf area of the Arctic have been conducted by Shell and others for years, and more would be needed before actual development happened in those waters. He said the state can't let the federal government continue to say no to OCS development.
Yesterday, I returned from Washington, D.C., where I met with Shell's CEO, its president, and members of the executive committee of its board to let them know that the state of Alaska remains open for business, to let them know that the state of Alaska will continue to pursue the fight to overturn the Department of Interior's moratorium on Arctic OCS drilling. We need these jobs. We need domestic energy production for this country.
Governor Parnell also announced the first of his selections to head up his cabinet positions. He listed each person's accomplishments first. His pick to head up the Department of Natural Resources is current Attorney General Dan Sullivan.
His work as U.S. Assistant Secretary of State focused on international energy issues. He's led and managed the 200-employee State Department Bureau of Economic Energy and Business Affairs, and I'm told served as the primary negotiator for the president. That would be President Bush. At the G8 summits. Beyond that, this person has been my lead in fighting the federal government to permit resource development across this state, and I've personally seen his skill at bringing diverse agency teams and industry players together to resolve differences.
Parnell chose Mark Lukin, a current deputy in the department, as the new commissioner for the Department of Transportation, highlighting his experience in national management and the military.
He's an Air Force Academy graduate. He holds two master's degrees, decorated and retired U.S. Air Force F-15 pilot, someone who understands aviation's rightful place in Alaska's history and our future. He also shares my views that roads, particularly roads to resources, create opportunities for economic growth. And he understands the marine highway system in Southeast and across our coastal communities. He understands that that is the highway system for our coastal communities. It's a vital link there.
Parnell said he's calling on Cora Campbell to be acting Commissioner of Fish and Game. Campbell is currently the governor's representative on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Parnell says he wants to see more integration of fishery research in the future.
How refreshing would it be to consider that fish are part of an integrated system, that they actually swim from river to ocean back to river? How reasonable would it be to presume that sport fish biologists and commercial fish biologists should really share data and arrive at something close to the same counts with that data if we can improve some communication and coordination.
Parnell said he wasn't singling out Fish and Game, saying state government departments often work in silos.
But as I've talked with many Alaska fishing groups across the months, I've heard a lot of frustration about, for example, two divisions with conflicting missions. That's Comfish and Sportfish. And I'm going to task ADF&G's fisheries leadership team with exploring ways to coordinate and perhaps consolidate these two divisions to find efficiencies, to communicate, and ensure that everyone is working towards the same goal, managing Alaska's fisheries for abundance and opportunity.
Parnell chose former Murkowski administration communications director Becky Haltberg to head up the Department of Administration. Susan Bell will stay on as Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development. Parnell said he hopes to announce more appointees early next week. Lisa Murkowski trumped naysayers yesterday by claiming victory in her U.S. Senate race against Republican Party candidate Joe Miller. Murkowski flew back to Anchorage from Washington, D.C. on Wednesday to accept her election win after a hand count of absentee ballots put her more than 10,000 votes ahead of Miller. KSKA's Ellen Lockyer has more.
It's another first for Alaska. Lisa Murkowski became the first person in more than half a century to win a write-in campaign for a U.S. Senate seat.
They told us that this could not be done, and we all heard it. What a wild, wild thing that we were doing. What a chance. What a risk. But for the right thing.
Murkowski greeted supporters and national television cameras at a laborer's local union hall in Anchorage Wednesday night after scrambling to return to Alaska from the nation's capital. The newly elected senator quoted her longtime friend and mentor, Senator Ted Stevens, in her victory address.
To hell with politics, do what's right for Alaska. You just keep coming back to that. And you're willing to take the risk. And I think one thing that we've learned from this, if you want something done, tell an Alaskan that they can't do it.
Murkowski's campaign slogan, write it in, fill it in, worked to gain her 10,400 votes over Joe Miller by Wednesday afternoon. The two had waged a tough, often brutal campaign for Alaska's open Senate seat. Alaska Native leaders endorsed Murkowski, and credit is given to rural precincts for her write-in lead. But Labor leader Mano Fry says Alaska working men and women supported her, too.
Lisa supports the working people in Alaska. She supports project labor agreements. And though we don't agree on every single issue, from the time she was in Juneau in the state legislature till certainly now in Washington, D.C., it's an open door. And the Laborers International has always been able to have a dialogue and discuss with her the issues important to Alaskans.
Hours before Murkowski was scheduled to give her acceptance speech, Randy Redrick, chair of the Republican Party of Alaska, issued a statement congratulating Murkowski on her victory. Redrick said the Alaska Republican Party stands ready to embrace Lisa Murkowski as Alaska's only Republican U.S. senator and called on Joe Miller to respect the will of the voters and end his campaign in a dignified manner. No word yet from the Miller camp on if it will pursue a recount. Randy DeSoto, Miller's campaign manager, says some precincts experienced voter irregularities. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
Just moments ago, Joe Miller asked a federal judge for a preliminary injunction to stop officials from certifying Alaska's U.S. Senate election. Military officials are setting up a camp off the Denali Highway in interior Alaska in preparation for a ground search for an Air Force pilot missing after a crash of an F-22. Air Force personnel plan to search south of the highway, a 134-mile mostly gravel road that runs east from near the entrance to Denali National Park to Paxson on the Richardson Highway. The highway is open seasonally and closes for the winter. The single-seat jet took off Tuesday from Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson in Anchorage on a training run. After about an hour and 20 minutes in the air, it disappeared from ground radar at 7:40 p.m. The crash site was found Wednesday about 100 miles north of Anchorage. The pilot's name has not been released. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, a new dog on the Iditarod team.
That mountain range is very difficult to get through, and I'm sure that that's why the Iditarod Trail was established, because it's a route that's navigable.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by First National Bank Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Anglo-American CEO of Copper, John McKenzie, flew in from Santiago, Chile to address Alaska business leaders in Anchorage this week. Anglo-American is a world leader in platinum and diamonds and a major producer of coal, iron ore, and nickel.
And we're a big and a growing producer of copper, the business which I lead. Our production totaled more than 680,000 tons of copper last year. And over the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to be growing our copper production up to over the million ton mark as various projects in Chile come online.
McKenzie focused his remarks on the heightening interest in copper worldwide due to a burgeoning technology industry and the rise of the middle class in China and India. He said copper is critical to green energy technology as well and is a necessary component for everything from wind turbines to hybrid autos. McKenzie told the group that the Pebble Mine prospect is a world-class resource which presents the opportunity to apply modern techniques to mining.
And we want Alaskans to join us. As you know, we are still at an early stage. We will listen before we act. I can say that we're living up to that commitment. And as with any large, complex project, developing the right model takes time. It can be done in a jurisdiction with some of the most stringent regulation in the world, and we operate in many other countries with increasingly stringent licensing and permitting regimes.
Anglo-American operates in 30 countries around the globe and has a $60 billion annual budget. Pebble Development has drawn opposition from environmentalists, fishing interests, and some Alaska Native tribes because of threats to the Bristol Bay salmon fishery. The Iditarod Sled Dog Race has announced a new major sponsor for the 2011 race, a mining company that may want to run a gas line along a portion of the trail, is contributing $285,000. From Ember Station KYUK in Bethel, Shane Iverson reports.
Donlin Creek LLC is a joint venture between two Canadian-owned mining companies, Barrick Gold and Nova Gold. Donlin is still developing a plan that would detail how it plans to extract and process an estimated gold reserve of 30 million ounces. To power that operation, Donlin is studying a natural gas pipeline that would come from Cook Inlet. That proposal calls for a buried 12-inch diameter pipe that would connect with the Iditarod Trail for about 70 miles through Rainy Pass. Mary Sattler works public relations for Donlin Creek.
It's an established route, and it's a passable route. I mean, that mountain range is very difficult to get through, and I'm sure that that's why the Iditarod Trail was established, because it's a route that's navigable.
Donlin estimated it would spend about $20 million this year alone studying the geology between Cook Inlet and their site located near the Kuskokwim River. Donlin Creek joins ExxonMobil, GCI, and Anchorage Dodge Center as principal Iditarod sponsors. Reporting from Bethel, I'm Shane Iverson.
Federal agencies that deal with Alaska Native health issues want to hear from Alaskans about preventing suicide. Alaska Natives and American Indians have a suicide rate 72% higher than the general American population. So the agencies are holding listening sessions all over the country to collect feedback on what should be done to address the problem. The effort is a partnership of the Indian Health Service, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA. Dr. Rose Wiaki, the director of IHS Behavioral Health Program, says they want to listen rather than talk.
Really, the role as the federal partners is to listen to the input and guidance and feedback that tribal communities have. We see that everyone has a role to play in suicide prevention. So, you know, inviting not only tribal leaders, but providers that are in the field, parents, youth, community leaders, spiritual leaders. So really, we want to hear everyone's voice as we move forward.
Wiaki says they're inviting everyone, not just healthcare providers, because it's important to recognize how entire communities are impacted by suicide and can collectively help to fight it.
Teachers have a role to play. So many times the person may not actually be accessing the mental health system for services, but maybe presenting themselves in the school system to friends, to community members, maybe law enforcement, maybe something, a responder that's responding to a suicide attempt or a suicide completion. And so when I'm talking about a system of care, I'm really talking about the entire community having a role to play in responding to suicide and preventing it.
Wiaki says it's a complicated public health issue, especially in Native villages where risk factors are higher than in other communities.
You know, in terms of depression, substance abuse, the family history of suicide, so those are just some examples, but also considering just some of the other contributing or risk factors that impact Native communities, such as poverty, unemployment. We know that there's a significant issue with alcoholism and substance abuse. Accidental death is high among our community. So, you know, you're dealing with communities who are dealing with multiple traumas as well and loss in addition to suicide.
The Indian Health Service is planning a national conference next summer about suicide prevention. The agencies are hosting 10 tribal listening sessions throughout the country. The Alaska gathering is scheduled for the afternoon of November 30th in Anchorage at the Egan Convention Center. The open enrollment period to review and join new Medicare prescription drug plans started on Monday and will run through the end of the year. KDLG's Mike Mason has the details.
The start of the open enrollment period means that Alaskans who have a prescription drug plan through Medicare can change to a different plan, and people who have not enrolled in a plan can now do so. Judith Bendersky is with the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services Medicare Information Office.
There's a 45-day period when people who are on Medicare can enroll into a plan or a different plan than they're in. They can drop out of a plan or they can switch. And that if they do not do that during that correct period of time, they can be locked out until the next open enrollment period. And that can be really bad because they may be paying more per month for a premium and more per medication that they use as a copayment for an entire 12 months.
About 65,000 Alaskans over the age of 65 currently receive their health care through the federal Medicare program, and about 40,000 people get their prescription drugs through a Medicare prescription drug plan. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services confirms that there are fewer plans available this year in the state of Alaska. Bendersky confirms that there are now 29 prescription drug plans in Alaska, which is down from the 41 plans previously available.
If people don't pay attention and read their mail or make a phone call, they actually may be dropped out of a plan and not have one starting January. So everybody really ought to check with the Medicare Information Office or with a certified Medicare counselor and have them double check that they're in a plan that will work beginning in January, so they will not be unpleasantly surprised when they go to the pharmacy.
Medicare recipients are encouraged to review their Part D annual notice of change letters that were mailed last month. Bendersky says in the past few years, her office has had to deal with several Alaskans who failed to take advantage of the open enrollment period.
Very unfortunately, the calls that we get in January and February and sometimes March, when people actually go to the pharmacy to fill their prescriptions, we get panicked calls from people who say, the drugstore won't give me my meds. And the reality is that their health insurance, their prescription drug insurance has changed, and they don't have the correct information, and they can't tell the pharmacy the correct information.
One of the major reasons to take advantage of the ongoing open enrollment period is because Medicare recipients who do not sign up the first time they are eligible can, under certain circumstances, be charged a permanent late enrollment fee that will last the rest of their lives. Bendersky cautions Medicare users that the various prescription drug plans available in Alaska are different and cover different drugs at different costs.
The formulary is the really important thing, and a formulary is a list of the medications that are covered under a plan, and every plan's formulary is different. So if you need to take a specific type of insulin, you need to be in a drug plan that will cover that very specific medication that you need. So it's very important that when a person selects a prescription drug plan, they select it because their medications are covered, and also the payment options are what they want, such as maybe paying a higher monthly premium but no annual deductible. So it really takes a look on Medicare.gov on the web to really do a good analysis of what plan a person should be on.
Those who want help selecting a plan or comparing the available prescription drug plans in Alaska can call the Alaska Medicare Information Office at 1-800-478-6065. Information is also available online at medicare.alaska.gov. A wealth of information can also be found on the official Medicare website at medicare.gov. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Fire Island Wind, offering a renewable energy alternative to natural gas for South Central Alaska. Information at fireislandwind.com.
Are home heating costs more than you can manage? If you're living on a fixed income or reduced income, the Heating Assistance Program may be able to help. To obtain more information or an application form, visit the Heating Assistance Program website at heatinghelp.alaska.gov or call 1-800-470-3058. Sometimes a little help makes all the difference. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
The Federal Coordinator for Alaska Natural Gas Transportation Projects has laid out factors working for and against development of a line from the North Slope. Larry Pursley addressed the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce this week, painting a market picture filled with a lot of competing gas, including major projects overseas.
Just in the six-year period, 2009 through 2015, new LNG plants are going online that will add 50% to the production serving the Asian market. Qatar, which has the largest natural gas reserves in the world, in the Mideast country, set itself a goal by the end of 2010 to have the capacity to produce and export 11 billion cubic feet a day. They are going to reach that goal by December.
Given all the worldwide competition and relatively low gas prices, Pursley said an Alaska project should focus on the lower 48, the world's biggest gas market. Two proposed Alaska gas line projects to feed North American markets completed open seasons this summer, and there are also smaller proposed projects to meet in-state demand. Pursley said an in-state line isn't a good economic choice.
If Alaskans could take what they would have spent to subsidize a small in-state line, sit down with the producers, with pipe companies, and see how you could use that to merge the projects, to leverage that investment so you get both. You get a pipeline that takes a lot of gas at high value to North America, keeping what you need in Alaska, put those together, you get the lowest cost gas for consumers in Alaska because people at the other end of the line are paying 95% of the cost, 95% of the gas.
Pursley said a large diameter line to the lower 48 also has the advantage of several federal benefits, including an investment tax credit for a North Slope gas processing plant. Pursley said the next step toward development of a large diameter North Slope gas line hinges in part on the state and industry hammering out tax issues. An appeals court is allowing work to resume on a small timber sale near Kaufman Cove. The legal decision is part of the larger battle over the logjam sale, a controversial project on central Prince of Wales Island. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has lifted a temporary injunction against operations on the Slake timber sale. Forest Service spokesman Ray Massey says 14 people were working on roads and logging preparation when the court issued an injunction November 5th. Two of those people found work at the nearby diesel timber sale, which is also part of logjam, but Massey says the rest were out of a job.
That's really, not something anybody wants to go through this time of year. You're getting up on the holidays and, a lot of people try to spend a little extra money. Nobody wants to be laid off, but it's particularly bad to be laid off right before the holiday season.
The Tongass Conservation Society, Greenpeace, and Cascadia Wildlands filed for the injunction blocking the work. Greenpeace's Larry Edwards says the Forest Service is at fault, not the plaintiffs in the court case.
Well, I think the best way to avoid jobs being put at risk would be for the Forest Service to do its environmental impact statements up front and properly in the first place. And that's where the difficulty comes.
Greenpeace and the other groups believe logging the area will damage wildlife and fisheries habitat. Edwards says that will impact Prince of Wales Island residents and others who travel there to hunt and fish.
We feel that the wolf population is threatened on the island, as well as subsistence deer hunting. And the project also will cause substantial problems with freshwater streams and, you know, the aquatic life there.
The Slake timber sale covers about 8,100 acres. Massey of the Forest Service says about 1,400 acres will be harvested, providing about 19 million board feet of timber. The nearby diesel sale is about 6,700 acres. About 1,200 will be cut, producing almost 24 million board feet.
They're both a piece of the logjam project area, which is over 56,000 acres. And these are the last two big sales that will come off of there. All the other sales will be broken into small sale units. Probably expect another 3 to 5 million board feet to come off of those small sales.
Greenpeace, Tongass Conservation, and Cascadia filed their logjam suit in January, but the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, the region's largest environmental organization, did not join in. SEAC had appealed the sale earlier, asking for less logging and more wildlife protection, but staff said the group decided against a suit to continue dialogue with the timber industry. Massey says there's still plenty of action in the courts.
Every time, pretty much, we sell another project or another timber sale off of that project, we'll get an attempt to block it with an injunction pending, you know, the settlement of their entire appeal of the logjam sale.
The next major legal deadline comes early next year. That's when briefs are due on a summary judgment request that could again stop road building and logging. Edwards says the groups keep pushing because the work is ongoing.
The concern is that a large part of the timber will be cut, and there will be substantial damages happening as that goes on, as well as road construction. Road densities are a huge issue on Prince of Wales Island for wildlife and wolves in particular.
Klawock's Viking Lumber, the largest mill still operating in the Tongass, bought the sale. It hired two Prince of Wales companies to do the logging, which could last for more than a year. Without the sale, some say the mill will have to shut down. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Sitka.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at APRN.org. You can follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Ellen Lockyer in Anchorage, Shane Iverson in Bethel, Mike Mason in Dillingham, Dan Bross in Fairbanks, and Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau. APRN's Libby Casey reported from Washington, D.C. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron, and I'm Laurie Townsend. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible in part by your local public radio station. ACHEA, the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association, has been asked to administer the new temporary federal insurance program that allows individuals with a qualifying pre-existing condition and who have been uninsured for at least 6 months an opportunity to purchase health insurance. Capacity is limited, so contact an insurance broker or ACHEA immediately. More information at achia.com. This message sponsored by ACHEA Fed. Award-winning news to get you out of bed in the morning. The Alaska Morning News and the Alaska Economic Report bring you the information you need for the day.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.